So now we are in the horns of a true dilemma. If I cannot claim exclusivity over a particular body, a particular environment, a particular psychological makeup, what can I hang on to? What can I call my own? And here the knowledge of the Veda saves us. Replace that word exclusive with the word inclusive. I'm not just this body, just this environment, just this psychological makeup. I am all bodies, all environments, all possible psychological makeups. I am pure potentiality. I am the universe. The only real I is the whole endless process. I am whatever is going on, whatever is happening. If I look outside and see the stars and galaxies, that's what's happening. That's what's going on. And that's me. I am the light, and I am the eyes that perceive it. I am the music, and I am the ears that hear it. I am the wind, and I am the bird's wings that fly in it. There is no other I than the entire universe. What I seem to be is just a certain quality of my attention to myself. In fact, the whole mechanics of creation is just that, changing qualities of attention of the self to itself. So obviously the next question is, where is this self? Where can I find it? How do I go about finding it? Is it in my brain, in my heart, in my solar plexus, in my right big toe? Where is it? Dr. Wilder Penfield, who used to be a well-known neurophysiologist and a neurosurgeon, one of his classic experiments was that he would operate on patients, and as he was doing brain surgery, he would take an electrical probe and he would stimulate different parts of the motor cortex in order to see which part of the brain controlled which part of the body. And in one of his classical experiments, he was stimulating a certain part of the motor cortex. And as he was doing, the patient's arm started moving up. And he asked the patient, he said, "What's happening?" And the patient said, "My arm is moving up." And Dr. Penfield said to the patient, "Are you moving your arm up?" The patient said, "No, my arm is moving up." And Dr. Penfield said, "Well, in that case, why don't you move your arm in another direction? Move it, instead of it moving up, move it from left to right." And the patient did so. Now, here's the interesting part. No matter how hard you try, no matter what instrument you use, no matter what sophisticated gadgetry you employ, you'll never find in the brain or elsewhere in the body the location of that one that made the choice to move the arm from one place to another. You can find in the brain the location of that which executes the command. But no matter what you do, you cannot find the commander. Where is that commander that made the choice, that issued the command? The execution can be localized, but the commander is nowhere to be found. In another classic experiment that Dr. Penfield did, he was probing with an electrical probe again parts of the sensory cortex, that which records images and memories and things like that. And he had this young woman and he was probing or stimulating a part of the sensory cortex. And at one point the woman said, "I'm seeing a picnic. My mother is there and she's wearing a blue dress and we're having cake and ice cream and there are lilies and jasmines outside and my aunt is there and she's brought these lovely presents and I can see this whole thing, I can experience it and I can smell the flowers." And Dr. Penfield said, "Are you there at that picnic?" And the patient said, "No, I'm not at the picnic, I'm just having the experience of the picnic, I'm in the operating room." And once again, if you want to know where's the location of that one that knows that despite this full-blown sensory experience, I, me, is not in this place, but in this place, that insight, that knowledge, that witnessing value, you cannot find it in the brain. That silent witness, that one that makes those choices, that one that has those insights, that commander is not to be found in either the body or the mind, because it is beyond both body and mind. That commander, that witness, is in the gap between our thoughts.